Welcome to the Mr. Skin Podcast, your weekly dose of what's new and what's nude in movies, TV, and Hollywood's sexiest stars. Now get ready for your host, the world's foremost authority on celebrity nudity, Mr. Skin.
Legendary Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin.
Dude, Mr. Skin.
MrSkin.com.
Skin, everybody.
Coast to coast, from Los Angeles, Chicago, and New York, it's the Mr. Skin Podcast with your hosts, Mr. Skin and Andrea Lowell. We want to hear from you. Call the show and leave us a voicemail at 484-SKIN-POD. Find all things Mr. Skin Podcast online at MrSkinPodcast.com.
Welcome to the Mr. Skin Podcast, sponsored by StreamMate.com, the global leader in live streaming with the hottest porn stars and amateurs broadcasting live directly from their bedroom to yours. StreamMate creates a totally unique and intimate experience where you get to direct the show however you want. With an endless variety of performers, you're sure to find your perfect match on StreamMate.com. The question is, are you ready? Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is the Mr. Skin Podcast, and I'm Andrea, and I'm so excited for today's episode because we're doing another best of show, and today we're doing the best nude scenes of 1986. I got a lot to learn. I don't know about you, but Mr. Skin is here to educate us. Hey, Skin. How are you, love?
Hey, Andrea. Yeah, you were a little baby when Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out in 1986.
I was 3 years old.
Oh,
I
my
didn't
God.
Know hardly anything.
I had my first job selling commercial real estate in Oak Brook, Illinois. I was like, oh, God. And I remember someone walking into my office on January 28th and saying that the Space Shuttle Challenger had exploded. And it wasn't like you had the internet, or I don't even know how the guy knew, but he came into my office. I actually had an office, which was amazing. And he came into my office and told me that, and that was such a big deal. Remember with that Christine McAuliffe, that was the teacher that they had a teacher that was going to fly with, you know, these astronauts, and it was like a big deal. But yeah, that was 1986.
Cool. So cool.
You probably don't remember, but Hands Across America was this really goofy charity event that they attempted to make a coast-to-coast chain of people holding hands, and it almost worked. It didn't quite do it. There's a few mountains and different things, but that was a big deal in 86. And do you know what else happened in 1986? Oprah Winfrey. Her show debuted nationally in 1986.
Wow. What longevity her show had. Wow. Oh, my God. Crazy.
Yeah. No, it's cool. And a couple other things. One thing big to me, Howard Stern started syndicating his morning show in 1986.
So, what?
Yeah, it's
wow.
a special year.
I thought
special
that was like
year.
The 90s.
No, special year for me. And let me tell you real quick. Average household income in 1986... $25,000.
Wow.
If you made 25 grand in 1986, that was the average income across the United States. Because plus, you could buy a house for $112,000. That was the average price of a home. You want to buy a new car? $12,700.
Wow.
Gas was under a buck, 93 cents in 1986.
Ooh,
God,
crazy.
Those were the days, huh? And like I mentioned, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but Top Gun came out that year. Crocodile Dundee, which was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Platoon, Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield. I love that one.
All-time favorite movie.
Yeah,
honestly.
Really cool. Yeah.
Best movie ever.
Yeah, and I remember... That's What Friends Are For was the big song of 1986. And I remember Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles. Papa Don't Preach by Madonna came out that year. Actresses born in 1986. Lady Gaga, Amelia Clark, Lindsay Lohan, Megan Fox. The Olsen twins born in 1986.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's
I
crazy.
Thought they were younger than that. Cool. Very cool.
And then some deaths that year. Cary Grant, Desi Arnaz. Yeah, James Cagney, and Ted Knight, alias Ted Baxter, died in 1986. So that kind of sets the tone. And now I got to set the boobies for you, because this was a fun one for me to do. You're going to know a lot of these actresses. You may not know all the movies, but you're going to know a lot of these actresses, and you're going to be blown away by how good a year 1986 was for celebrity nudity.
And now it's time for our StreamMate Spotlight of the Week. And I am super stoked to have Kat on. And that is _Kat_XX. Hey, love, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
Fantastic. Me and Skin are loving so many things about you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To keep it a little on the superficial tip, your boobs are amazing.
Thank you so much. I love them.
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't. Can you actually keep your own hands off of your boobs throughout the day?
To be completely honest with you, no, I don't see how anyone could keep their hands off of their boobs.
I mean, they're amazing. How big are they?
They're actually 36D, but I had them reduced. They used to be like a double F or a G. But they were just too big back then. So I had them reduced so they're like a good handful now.
What was it like back in the day when before you had the reduction? And what's the reason you did it? Like, what was it like when you had that, both the stares you'd get, maybe the back pain? But I'd also like to know why you did that. That's pretty interesting. You don't talk to many girls that went the reverse route. You know? Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that they did get quite a lot of stares. Mm-hmm. That's, as a matter of fact, all that anyone could ever look at. And mm-hmm. although I love boobs and I loved my own boobs and I actually never experienced back pain, I wanted to have a little bit more attention on my face, a little bit more attention on my mind so that there would be an actual balance. Because a lot of my sexuality is, you know, in my brain. And so I wanted to give people something else to focus on.
Got it.
I mean, it makes perfect sense. And even with the reduction, you still have such a gorgeous, voluptuous figure, petite, totally tiny, but it's like, you did the right decision for you. And I love how you talk about that attention on so much more because you are beautiful and you do have a lot going on upstairs. Talk to me about that, kind of how you take that cerebral aspect, that emotional, that empathetic aspect into your camming.
Well, I would say to start off with, most webcam models, they kind of exude more of a factitious version of sexuality. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but they try very hard to emulate porn stars. Whereas I recognize that a lot of people come to cam sites for the reason of connection, of finding a human woman, a real woman to connect with. And I would say that I capitalize on that more so than anything else. I need to make sure that people feel warm and safe and comfortable and truly connected, like there's an empathetic force in my chat room. And that's definitely what I exude more than anything else. As a matter of fact, I'd say that I have a pretty high percentage of clients that want to talk rather than just, you know, do sex stuff, which is an honor. It's really an honor knowing that people feel that comfortable with me as well as aroused.
I mean, I'm trying to think about what I would possibly talk to. I'd be so distracted by your hot tattoos. But no, I do understand what you're saying. And people do need that connection. And I'm glad that you have that to offer. But let's be real. You are, you know, a self-described genuine nymphomaniac.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I love that.
I'm a nymphomaniac. I just never saw that there needed to be a separation between, you know, empathy and kindness and nymphomania. You know, the connection is what's beautiful. And there is sexual connections. There are emotional connections. And I like to think that I take advantage of all of it.
I agree with you. I'm an empath myself, and I feel it makes me way better in bed, way better at anything physical, because I know what you want and I can feel you. So I think it's amazing. I love it. Now, what shocks me is that you're new to camming, and you seem to have this all figured out.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect when I first started, but I would say within the first day, as strange as this sounds to say about, you know, technically something that is sex work, it is a beautiful experience, and StreamMate is a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Now, Skin, did you want to ask Kat about some movie stuff?
Yeah, well, I saw, was that a Friday the 13th tattoo I saw in one of the pictures?
It is, yes.
Yeah, cool. Are you a fan of the franchise? Are you a horror movie fan?
A huge fan of all horror movies. I've been a fan since I was a young child, and I've been addicted to them ever since.
Right on.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, because I, you know, for what I do at MrSkin.com, I always say thank God for horror movies, because it's like peanut butter and jelly. Horror movies and nudity and beautiful women, they just go together perfectly. And so many of the movies at our website, you know, not only all the Friday the 13th that started in, you know, in 1980, but the Halloween franchise. And, you know, you're a horror movie fan. You know how many great movies are fun to watch, scare you. And you get to see beautiful female women in them also. So that's really cool that you're a fan of that. Because usually it's more of a guy thing than a girl thing.
Yeah, usually. I guess kind of like video games, it's a little bit more rare to find a hardcore fan of the other gender. But yes, I would say that when I was very young, one of the most intriguing things to me about those movies was the sex. How they were so filled with nudity and sex.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, well, believe me, Andrea, you wouldn't believe how many. I mean, just in the Friday the 13th franchise alone, you know, they did all these movies from 1980 through probably about 1989. And then you started in the 2000s, where they started with the Freddy versus Jason. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of merged the two franchises, and then they remade Friday the 13th in 2009. And it's just, people love it. And guys like me that grew up during that time and saw the original Friday the 13th, it's just that those movies to me and my friends are like the best horror movies ever made, like the original Halloween and the Friday the 13th. They're just so much fun. And Kat's right. And then you throw in all the great nudity and you have the perfect movie, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
Now, Kat, do you have a favorite of all time, either nude scene or sex scene in a horror movie? And if so, what is that? Kind of the one that stands out in your mind.
Well, I don't know about a favorite, but there is definitely one that stands out, maybe because of how, in a sense, sexually brutal it seems to be. So there's this one sex scene. A lot of people remember this one from one of the movies in the Friday the 13th franchise, Jason Goes to Hell. And basically, two people are having really hot sex in a tent. I mean, it looks really intense. And all of a sudden, Jason comes and kills the woman by spearing her literally right before she's about to have an orgasm.
Oh, shit.
Before. And that is why that stood out in my mind. What a horrible moment to die. At least let her finish the orgasm first.
Right? Thank you, Kat. Yeah. See, Kat, you are empathetic. You're like, let her at least come first.
Yeah, that happens. That happens, of course, at the 33-minute mark of that movie from 1993. So,
I Michelle love how you Clooney. Know that, Skin. Yeah. who is that, Skin? Michelle who?
Michelle Clooney. No relation to George, but yeah.
Wow.
Wow, you even know that. That's really impressive.
That's what Skin does, Kat.
Yeah, it was in the tent. Right. Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. So, Kat, you have been a joy to talk to. I think you have a whole beautiful philosophy on camming. I love the fact that you kind of, I feel, were born to do this in a way and make these connections and just make it such a beautiful thing for all of your clients. So I want everyone to check you out. You can go to _Kat_XX.cammodels.com. Check her out on Twitter too, Streammates Cat, and Instagram, Cat of Streammate. We're going to follow you everywhere. So
thank you so much.
Of course. Wonderful talking with you. Have a beautiful day.
You too.
So let me start with number 10.
All right. I'm excited.
Best nude scenes of 1986. This is a huge actress even to this day.
Whoa.
Yes, it's Nicole Kidman making her nude debut. And what a nude debut it was.
This was the first of all of her nudity?
Yes.
I mean, started off strong, Nicole. Yeah. Are you serious with that ass? Okay,
she, of course, is in the Mr. Skin Hall of Fame. And in this movie, Wind Rider, at the 47-minute mark. And they released this on Blu-ray recently, actually. And it's kind of cool because she's done 19 movies. Even recently, she did a movie called The Killing of a Sacred Deer, where she was naked. But this was a young Nicole Kidman in a movie called Wind Rider. And Andrea, what a butt on her, huh?
I had no idea. Yeah. Like, I've always thought she's had an immaculate body. She could be a supermodel, this, that, or the other. But this ass is like, I mean, mind blowing. Where has she been hiding this whole time?
She was also in her late teens, early 20s in this. And It's a sports movie about this big surfing competition, and she plays the lead surfer's girlfriend who keeps distracting him with her hot body, and he's, can you imagine getting the bang bad? Yeah.
Okay. When she gets up and she's walking away, like the phrase, you want some fries with that shake, comes to mind, because she is shaking it and strutting it as she's walking away. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. I agree. And what a bud, and definitely
what an everything.
You go A-list actresses, who has a better A than Nicole Kidman? It doesn't get better than that, right?
No one.
Yeah. So it was a brief scene, but obviously a great scene. It's Nicole Kidman in Wind Rider, my number 10 nude scene of 1986. Yes. Now,
brief, but not briefless.
Right. So number 9 is, this is a movie and a actress that many guys and women too love, the actress that is, and it's Goldie Hawn in Wildcats, 31 minutes in the tub. And listen, during the 70s, she played a lot of different roles, but, you know, Private Benjamin was the big blockbuster hit in 1980, and that's when she joins the army and goes from being an airhead blonde to this funny, capable grown woman. And
funny movie.
Yeah, and she had done all those movies like she had been on the television show Laughing, and did a movie called There's a Girl in My Soup in 1970 where she was nude. But, you know, she was known as this ditzy babe, but then did that Private Benjamin and became a big star. Well, Wildcats was a movie that aired again. It aired a lot on cable television throughout the 80s and 90s. And she gets hired to coach a rough and tumble inner city high school football team, and actually turns them into champions. And it's kind of a classic movie, but the scene at the 31 minute mark where she's in the tub is a great Goldie Hawn nude scene that is, if you're a Goldie Hawn fan, it's must see. And she's definitely on the smaller boob side, but, you know, everything else about her, she's so hot and gorgeous.
Dude, and amazing.
One other thing, Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes were players on her inner city football team in this movie.
Oh, I love both of them. But yeah, who doesn't love Goldie Hawn? I mean, come on. She's amazing. And yeah, A-list for both reasons. And yeah, I'm just loving this. I mean, she's totally naked in a bathtub. I mean, I love how on the website you've slowed it down with the skin vision so we don't miss a beat or miss a teat.
No, very good. Yeah, we're going to call
those. I'm getting
quick
skin.
we're going to call those when you're... we've gone from calling these icebergs. We're going to call them nicebergs when your boobs just peek out of the water. We're going to call them nicebergs. So
I love it. Love that. And she, you know, she's so funny. She's so quirky. But that just goes to show you what a great actress she is, because she's not ditzy in real life. So I love her. So
yeah, 9 Goldie Hawn. Yeah, Goldie Hawn, number 9 best nude scene of 1986. For her great nude scene in Wildcats at the 31-minute mark. Now, number 8 is probably the one or two actresses you might not know.
Okay.
But this probably was the best movie overall for nudity, if I had to choose one. It's Beatrice Dalle, a French actress, and Betty Blue, movie from 1986. So many nude scenes in this. Betty Blue actually became a huge international hit, and we don't maybe today remember Beatrice Dalle like we should, but she was a pretty big star in the 80s because of this movie. And she plays a young woman in this suffering from some sort of like mental illness who acts out by having these intense sexual affairs with...
Why do they always have to be crazy, Skin?
I don't... She does act weird in this. She's with like a writer and then her handyman, and it's actually turns out to be a psychological drama. It's a pretty heavy movie, but what's incredible was all of the incredible sex and nudity, full frontal, everything you could imagine going on in this movie. And she has one of those, what do you call it, where you have like space in your front teeth a little. She's gorgeous. But remember Lauren Hutton had that? She kind of, Beatrice Dalle kind of has that too. I don't know if you could see in the pics, but listen, this movie, like I said, I have to go back and check, but in 1986, this could have had the most graphic mainstream nudity, because this, I don't know how it didn't get an X rating, even though it was in art house theaters and attracted mainstream audiences, but it is very, very explicit. And you could see there's a scene in this movie where a guy goes down on her, and it's just a hot, hot movie, and she's gorgeous. And Beatrice Dalí and Betty Blue is my eighth favorite of 1986.
Yeah, and she's definitely bringing it in the scenes I'm seeing. Like, bringing it. So I'm all about this. And yeah, I've never heard of her, but I don't need to have to enjoy this scene.
No, it's awesome. So if you haven't seen the movie Betty Blue, it's really cool. And oh, CP, look how good he is. He even put a picture up. Check out this picture he just put up of Beatrice Dalí.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying with the teeth
the
thing?
The teeth. Happening? It's more exaggerated than Lauren Hutton. So if you're into that, if you like that, if you think it's cute or whatever, check her out. She's she's a doll, actually. She's really,
gorgeous.
Really pretty. Yeah.
Really hot. So
yeah, really hot.
This next one is really cool. It's a hard to find movie. It's Andrea Thompson in a movie called Manhattan Gigolo. And Andrea Thompson, this is interesting, couple things. So she acted for a number of years, and then I'll get into this. She went to work at CNN as a reporter, which is incredible. But she
after
also,
this?
Well, listen, she she played.
Whoa.
It was before the internet, Andrea. So she was Jill Kirkendall for four seasons on NYPD Blue also. So she had a really strange career. So after she was on NYPD Blue, so first she did this in 1986, which I'll get into in a second. Then she became you know, on a pretty popular television show. She was a detective on NYPD Blue. Then she became a reporter for CNN. And what happened was she did this movie in 1986 called Manhattan Gigolo. And it is, well, it's an erotic thriller. She plays this woman. She's on the prowl for kinks around New York City. And at the 18-minute mark, the scene I wanted you to see is my seventh best nude scene of 1986. She has this threesome with two dudes that is very, very graphic. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, her CNN career came to a halt when people realized she had done this scene, which is stupid, and I hate that stuff.
So dumb.
That's how hot this stuff was from Manhattan Gigolo. And it's kind of weird, too, because she became, after this, a TV star from NYPD Blue and a news reporter, and it is really, really graphic stuff.
I mean, I'm kind of blown away with what I'm seeing, and it's so funny because I'm watching this. It's super graphic. They're obviously really hooking up. They're not acting. There's tongues flying, everything else. Her with these two dudes I'm talking, and I don't recognize her at all. Then when I look at her from her news, you know, appearances,
on CNN,
I do recognize her. I'm like, oh my God, that's the same person?
Yeah. Holy. I hate those stories because, you know, I don't think nudity should affect your career. But she's right
Who
now,
cares?
I guess she's hosting a cable show called Psychic Detectives. So she's still out there, but not to the level she was.
Yeah, persecution for nudity in Hollywood is ridiculous. I mean, give me
anti.
A break.
We're anti.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's preposterous, especially with what we know today about Hollywood. It's like, come on.
Yeah, okay. All the stuff going on in Hollywood.
Yeah, right. Ridiculous.
Right. So anyway.
Moving on to hotter things.
Yeah, so number seven was Andrea Thompson, Manhattan Gigolo, my seventh best nude scene of 1986. Now, number six, I love this nude scene. It's kind of flew under the radar, but not to me, who watched this many times. And,
never
and
to skin.
Freeze frame the scene at the 105 mark. But it's Lisa Eichhorn in Opposing Force. And so Lisa Eichhorn was an up-and-coming actress in the late 70s and early 80s. She went nude in the Richard Gere drama Yanks, no pun intended, 1979. And then she was in that Jeff Bridges cult mystery Cutter's Way in 1981. So she was, you know, starting to be a well-known actress. And then she does this movie Opposing Force in 1986. And what a nude scene she did in this. It's a weird B action movie. It's about an elite team of commandos. And they're dumped in a Philippines jungle where commanders Richard Roundtree and Tom Skerritt put them through these sadistic special forces training. And Lisa's like, Eichhorn is one of the female, there's men and women, she's one of the female commandos. And The training involves getting stripped naked, hosed down, held in bamboo cages, and being interrogated while nude. And the scene at the hour and 5 minute mark is, it's just like, on one hand, it's a little sadistic, but on the other hand, it's a very hot nude scene here. And she handles herself really well in this and obviously is completely nude and completely gorgeous in the scene at the hour and 5 minute mark.
Well, you know why I love this one. The tan lines are amazing. Like, absolutely amazing. But also, we all know I'm a sucker for a sexy back. And her back is bringing the heat.
Yep. yeah, no, she her body was just rocking in 1986.
I don't even know. Maybe she's a double D natural. I mean, she's this is a great scene. We get the front, we get the back, we get it all with the tan lines. All about it.
Yeah, the this scene in Opposing Force of the Hour and 5 minute mark is my sixth best nude scene of 1986, and one of the ones I remember vividly watching on cable many, many times. So, all right, so that brings us to number five, and number five is from a classic movie. It's Isabella Rossellini in Blue Velvet. My number five nude scene of 1986, and she, of course, is the daughter of Casablanca star Ingrid Bergman, an Italian director. Roberto Rossellini, and Blue Velvet is the great David Lynch's surreal crime drama set in this small town America, where he once described it as the Hardy Boys go to hell. And it's one of the most controversial films of the 1980s. It had graphic nudity, gory violence, and sadistic sex. And if you don't know the movie, Kyle MacLachlan stars. He was like a innocent youth drawn into the crime web after he witnesses Dennis Hopper as Frank Booth, one of the great and scariest psychopath characters of all time, abusing Isabella Rossellini, who plays his girlfriend. And in addition to their, you know, violent sex sequence, you know, sex sequences, Isabella performs one of the most shocking nude in public scenes of all time at the 1 hour and 41 minute mark in the scene here that I chose as number five on my list, the best nude scenes in 1986, where she suddenly appears full frontally naked, walking around in a daze outside of like this suburban lawn with Laura Dern, and these football morons were there. And it's just a crazy, crazy nude scene. I can't believe she did it, but it's just one that is just a famous, famous nude scene and a great one.
Yeah, I mean, she's something else. The legacy of her, her family, but also her nudity, her body, her... I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah, good call on number five.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And don't forget that Blue Velvet was highly acclaimed, actually, and in addition to...
Yeah.
It was a minor hit, not a huge hit, but it became, obviously, a cult classic. And totally. It actually paved the way for David Lynch's TV show Twin Peaks in 1990. So, Blue Velvet and Isabella Rossellini, my number... five nude scene of 1986. So we get down to number four, and number four, I hope you know this girl, it's Vanity in the movie 52 Pickup at the 50 minute mark.
And I know her from you, Skin. That's all I need to know her from.
Yeah, well, she was actually a protege of Prince. He set up a group for her called Vanity Six as a showcase. And this 52 Pickup is a spectacularly sleazy adaptation of this Elmer Leonard novel. And Roy Scheider, who you'd know as the main character in Jaws, he's the husband of Anne Margaret, who's one of my all-time favorites. And he's like a politician running for office in L.A., and he gets caught by a porno kingpin having an affair with Kelly Preston, which can't blame him at all for that. And it leads
we can't blame him for that.
Yeah, it leads to blackmail, murder, and this movie had real-life porn stars in it. And so Vanity plays a peep show model in the movie, and she strips topless and poses for Roy Scheider so he could take Polaroids in this really hot scene. And that's the scene in question at the 50 minute mark that I love. And, you know, like Amber Lynn was in this movie naked. Kelly Preston had a nude scene, but it wasn't like sexy at all. I don't want to get into it, but it would ruin something for you. But this scene where Vanity strips at the 50 minute mark is just so hot. And what a gorgeous woman Vanity was.
From head to toe, there's not a flaw on her. I mean, I mean, I'm even admiring her hamstrings when her legs are up in the air. I mean, she's so, so, so beautiful. I mean, absolutely flawless. She's, I mean, it's no wonder that she was Prince's, you know, right-hand woman at all.
Yeah, wow. She also did this really obscure movie called Tanya's Island where she's nude. And it's never been released in any really good form. We have a VHS copy at our website. But yeah, she was really, really gorgeous. And if you want to see one of the hottest sex with a gorilla scenes, check out Tanya's Island where Vanity has sex with a gorilla. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. So counting down the great year 1986, my third favorite celebrity nude scene of that year is Melanie Griffith in a movie called Something Wild.
Wow, and, Something Wild for sure.
Yeah, she's... if you don't know, Melanie Griffith is the daughter of Tippi Hedren. Tippi Hedren, who was in some Hitchcock movies you might know. And listen, Melanie Griffith has just, I'm a huge fan. She was in the movie Fear City, the movie Body Double, obviously tons of other movies, but those are movies
tons
that I remember.
Movies.
Yeah. But this movie, Something Wild, is very, like, it was a kind of a new wave-ish comedy directed by Jonathan Demme, and it turned Melanie Griffith into a famous name and a bankable movie star, and a spank bankable for me, by the way. And I watched this nude scene many, many times at the 16-minute mark where she plays this, like, wild woman who seduces this uptight New Yorker, Jeff Daniels, into coming on a kinky little crime spree through the South. And it's sexy and lighthearted until about two-thirds of the movie in when Ray Liotta shows up as Melanie's psycho husband and tries to hunt them down. And this scene, though, where Jeff Daniels is hooks up with her in a motel room and she ties him up and she gets naked on top of him was a nude scene that many, many guys in the 80s and 90s remember. And the movie's really great, and this nude scene is really awesome.
I mean, this nude scene is phenomenal, but if you want to see Melanie Griffith with, like, a short black bob, because we all know her as this gorgeous A-list blonde, you know, Antonio Banderas is hot arm candy, you know, and she's looking something fierce in this getup she has on and this look. And this movie's jam-packed with A-listers, so I think this is something maybe for me to put on my personal list of must-see movies.
Yeah, no, oh, definitely. Oh, you'd love the movie. It's a lot of fun, and, you know, cool. Yeah, and don't forget, her and Don Johnson had Dakota Johnson. So
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. So that's
right.
It's a great nudity family, and
right.
Melanie Griffith, Something Wild. It's my third favorite nude scene of 1986 with Jeff Daniels at the 16-minute mark. So number two is a movie near and dear to my heart because I'm from Chicago and I love. The movie About Last Night, which starred Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. And it's a sweetened up romantic movie. It was adapted from this David Mamet play that aired in the early 80s in Chicago called, or just around the country, called Sexual Perversity in Chicago. And it's about the romance of this young couple. And in the movie, it's played by Demi Moore and Rob Lowe. And then their best friends are played by Jim Belushi, John Belushi's brother, and Elizabeth Perkins, who popped up recently, if you remember, from Sharp Objects. She's playing Jackie O'Neill, one of the characters in Sharp Objects on HBO. But anyway, what... This movie is cool because it shows, like, where I am from, or, you know, where I grew up and was working the streets back in the day at the exact same time, like Lincoln Park in Chicago and Rush Street. And though I'm not a Cub fan, the Wrigley Field and all the stuff that goes on and the fun of going to the games and hanging out in Lincoln Park and all that. But the thing I love most about Last Night is Demi Moore's nudity. And there's a bunch of great nude scenes in this. You know, she's having sex with Rob Lowe. I love the scene where they're walking, both of them completely naked in the kitchen. It's a little dark, but it's a great, great scene. But Demi Moore in About Last Night, my second favorite nudity from 1986.
I mean, I just love it anytime we can see Demi Moore in her like natural form, because, you know, she soon after got the implant. So it's nice to see her like this. And I love it.
Yeah, totally. She's had a really interesting career because when she was 18, she posed, and I should send you this. I don't know if you could find it. oh, wait, let me see if I could even pull this up.
Send it to my personal email.
Yeah, it'd blow your mind, but she posed for We Magazine, which was a very graphic magazine, which was like kind of like what you would see in Hustler magazine, where she spread eagle with one of the biggest monster muffs ever seen.
Why are we just talking about this now, Skin? I have known you for 15 damn years, and we are just talking about this now.
I know, I'm sorry, but you got to see it's in my private collection. Anyway, I don't know if CP could find it quick enough, and I don't want to delay the show. But trust me, it exists.
I see it.
Oh, did he find it? No, nope, that's not it. But it's
that's not
as,
it.
It's a start. It's a start.
Wow, yeah. She's so pretty at 18. Yeah. I love that baby face of hers. Like, you know, she has that little chubbiness to her cheeks still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Full muff. But there's an even more graphic one that I will send you off the air. That's incredible. But anyway, and then she got breast implants sometime after about last night, and then did the great nudity in striptease.
That's right.
And I got to tell you, that is, it's the contrast of her nudity in About Last Night with her natural boobs, or even Blame It on Rio, a movie we've talked about before, and the nudity and striptease with the monster boobs is really incredible. So Demi Moore in About Last Night, and a cool movie that I loved, is my number two nude scene of 1986.
All right. I am so amped for number one, because the what we've gone through already is incredible. I'm almost like stuttering. Yeah. All right, I'm ready. What is number one, Mr. Skin?
You know this movie well. I want to say it was 50 Shades of Grey before 50 Shades ever made it. It probably inspired it in some way, but it's Kim Basinger in 9.5 weeks. Kim Basinger ranks high on one of my favorite babes of all time. Also, some of the most niptastic nips of all time, by the way. Mm. And what happened with her is she kind of broke through as a Bond babe in that movie Never Say Never Again in 1983, which she actually promoted in Playboy, which was a cool pictorial. And that's when people really were like, who is this babe? But then she got the gig in 1986 in 9.5 weeks, and she plays a Manhattan Art Gallery employee who has this affair lasting the length of the movie's title, 9.5 weeks, with Mickey Rourke as this, like, he's this kinky, obsessed Wall Street financier. And it's, like I said, it's very much like 50 Shades. And like, you got to understand, in 1986, this was a big deal because there was, like, BDSM, blindfolds, exhibitionism, voyeurism, cross-dressing, which, you know, you didn't see at the time, sex in public.
Mickey Rourke's natural face, in case anyone was curious.
Mickey Rourke's face before everything happened. there was an attempted threesome with a female prostitute.
Okay, I need to rewatch this. I don't remember any of this.
Oh, my God. There was even this thing with this stranger at a Times Square peep show where they tried to have an encounter. Yeah.
Put
she masturbates while looking at slides of erotic art in her gallery. I mean, you got to understand, this was groundbreaking stuff. In fact, the movie was actually shot in 1984, but it was too hot to be released. They weren't ready for it. So it wasn't until 1986 that 9.5 weeks came out. And
worth the wait.
Supposedly, it had to be edited down. I'd love to see some of the stuff they cut out. But listen, the movie was directed by Adrian Lin, who made Flashdance and would later go on to make Fatal Attraction. It was produced by Zalman King, who directed my favorite movie, Two Moon Junction, or one of my favorite movies in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had that feel, like almost like a Red Shoe Diaries type of feel to the movie. But the scene when she's singing, the music, You Could Leave Your Hat On, and she strips for Mickey Rourke, is my favorite and a very iconic celebrity nude scene, my favorite of 1986.
Well, I'm blown away, Skin. I mean, this list, it just keep getting better and better and better. It's like, how do you keep topping yourself? I mean, we started with Nicole Kidman and her new debut. I don't think I've ever seen her new debut before all the years I've been talking to. But, you know, there's tons of other A-listers on this list doing A-list nudity with boobs ranging from A yeah. to D. I mean, we covered it all. I'm loving 1986. What a stroll, man. What a stroll.
Yeah, no, thanks. And it was fun. And these are special movies near and dear to my heart, and obviously special nude scenes. But it's so much fun for me to put these lists together of the best of certain years. And I got tons of years to go, so we'll continue to do this throughout the Mr. Skin podcast. And Andrea, it was a riot. We'll talk soon.
We'll do that. Have a good one.
This concludes another skintillating episode of the Mr. Skin podcast. Subscribe to the Mr. Skin podcast in iTunes and never miss a show. Thanks for listening.